Blog Talk Radio.
Well, and if you miss me from singing,
singing,
and you can't find me nowhere,
glory,
come on up to glory,
glory,
I'll be singing up there.
I'll be singing up there.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of the Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He will also be presenting our words of encouragement on today. We ask you all to please stop whatever it is you are doing, to find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. This is already February the 1st. Sure is. January is already gone. Boogity, boogity. We're moving on in the new year. And we hope that each one of you, that God will continue to bless you in whatever situation that you may find yourself in. You may be sick and confined to the house some kind of way, but make that work for you. You may be on a job that you just don't like going to. Some kind of way this year, make that work for you. You may have been planning to go see your sister, your brother, or your uncle, or somebody that's do not procrastinate during the course of this year. Go ahead and make that trip. Get that plane ticket or bus ticket or whatever you need to do and go see these people, because time is just marching on. It is marching on. And so we're just glad to have each one of you on the program for this morning. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 3, he says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He used that word, and it's all through the Bible, the word repent. But what does the word repent mean? How does that apply to us? I'm talking, it was in Amos 4, if you read Amos 4, 12 through 13. The Bible tells him, and also in the book of Luke, prepare to meet thy God. The only way that we can make preparation to do that is that repentance must be involved. We can't just keep going through life just stumbling along and doing wrong or mistreating people, people mistreating us, and then we never repent of that. Then the Bible says again, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, which was Ben John. He said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. Repentance must be as old as the human race. Really, when Adam and Eve was in the garden and they sinned, they were rebuked for their sin. But whether they immediately repented of their sins, we don't really know. But one might assume that they did, because that they did repent, since God continued to bless them and they continued to be in God's favor at that particular time. So for an example, in the Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, I have begotten a male child from God. That's what was said when Cain was born. And so the word of God is very clear about the necessity of repentance. Whether one is ready from old, whether he's reading from the Old or the New Testament, forgiveness hinges upon repentance. It is, if there is no repentance, then there is no forgiveness. And sometimes we sort of get past that. I know in some situations, you may have been with your friends, you may even been with your husband, wife, or whatever it is, and you got a situation going on, and you know one of you is wrong. Both of you can't be wrong. Both of you can't be right. But instead of the next day clearing it up, sometimes that might mean say, hey, look, I was a little bit to the left on that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this, that, and that. Instead of doing that, we sort of just let that glaze over. And so the next day, we just start anew. We just start talking again. We start associating again. We start telling jokes again. But nobody of those two have said that they were sorry or that they repented of that. And we can't take that in judgment. We can't take that into judgment. That's why the Bible tells us, he says, if you go to church on Sunday morning, and you sitting up in there. Matter of fact, this is just an example now. He said, you're sitting up in worship, and you just happen to think about a brother or sister that you just know you flat wronged. They said, leave your offering. Leave it at the table. Go make that right. Then come back, and he says, and then offer up your offering unto God. So it's pretty serious. But I have just seen time and time again that repentance have just not been part of our lifestyle. We won't admit that we're wrong at all. We just let it glaze over. And I've seen some people who had some pretty good convictions in the wrong thing. I mean, you just know that stop sign is red. You just know that light is red. They're going to try to convince you that it was yellow or that it was green, and both of you standing there looking at it. I've just seen some people who had some convictions about the wrong thing. I mean, they just held on to it because they don't want to repent, or they don't want to say that they're wrong, or I'm sorry, or something of that sort. So what? Let me just mention a couple of things that repentance is not. Let me mention a couple of things that I know that when you think about repentance, repentance is not this. It is not just a confession of guilt. You know, some people only say that they're sorry when they got caught. They didn't do it as a result of the love or something from the heart or something that says, you know, this is the right thing to do. They do it because they got caught. In Joshua 7 and verse number 20, Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned." I went through the Bible one time and looked up all of the situations where the phrase was, "I have sinned." I encourage you to do that sometime. Look in the back of your Bible or something of that sort and go through the Bible and find out where the Bible says, just this phrase now, "I have sinned." In Joshua 7 and verse number 20, Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned." In Psalm 41 and verse number 4, I said, "Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." In Psalm 51 and verse number 4, he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." You haven't heard that word lately? You haven't even heard it at church in a long while, have you? When was the last time when the preacher got through preaching and he extended the invitation that you had anybody to even come down to the front or something of the sort? I know for a fact, dawned on me, I know for a fact you haven't seen it in 2.5 years when we were going through this pandemic when we were not at church at all. Oh, some of us are overdue. But I'm thinking, that just hit me. You haven't been responding to the Savior's invitation in almost 2.5 years. And when you do decide to say that you sin, don't put it with something else. Don't make it stand alone by itself. I've heard people come down front and they say, "I've sinned, I've repented, and I asked the church to pray for me, and we're on our vacation and we're getting ready to go to Pensacola, Florida, and we ask you for traveling grace." And I'm like, hold up a minute. Did you sin, or are you getting ready to go to Pensacola? Which one are you trying to do? Do one or the other. Don't join them together. We used to say, instead of people repenting, they just be reporting. That's "I've sinned." We know that. We just want to know what you've already done to rectify that. And in Matthew 27 and verse 4, he says, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." In Numbers 22 and verse number 34, "And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned." I've just mentioned to you 1-3. I just mentioned to you seven verses in the Bible where they took upon themselves to say, "Look, I want to be in the right relationship with God and with my friends and my neighbors or whoever it is." And so think about it. When was the last time you just told somebody, "I'm sorry I'm wrong," or "I made a mistake," or something like that? So we just keep glazing it over, and we won't be able to take that into eternity. In 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13, he said, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." The Bible is full of situations where people found themselves at odds with not only their friends, neighbors, husbands, wives, but also with God as well. And so sin is not just, you have to say that just because you got caught. And so repentance is not just confessing of guilt. It's not just confessing of guilt. And in Exodus 9, verses 23-7 and 34, he says, I have sinned this time, is what Pharaoh said. I have sinned this time. And Pharaoh continued that phrase. It is not conviction. Sin is was this idea of a repentance. Yeah. In John 8 and verse number 1, many who heard and learned the truth of God, and they was convicted of their sins, but they did not repent of their sins. That's what John 8 and verse number one said. And then this repentance is not godly sorrow. It's not godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 10, he said, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, and not to be repented of." He says, "It's not godless. It's not godly sorrow. Oh, you know, I'm just so sorry." That's only after somebody have rolled up on you. See, what I'm trying to tell you about forgiveness and repentance is it needs to come from us. It needs to come out of us, not from somebody else. You remember when your mom and your daddy sometimes when you and your brother or sister, whatever it was, you got in a little fight and you took something from him and everything. Did you go back and say, "I'm sorry"? No, your mom or your daddy made you to. They said, "Go tell your sister you're sorry. Go tell your brother that you're sorry." That came from your mama. That didn't come from you. What should have happened was that you recognized that you shouldn't have took that doll and broke it or broke the arm on it, or you shouldn't have took a balloon and bust this balloon. But you should have said from yourself, without anybody making a recommendation to you on this, you should have said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bust your balloon, or I didn't mean to take your baby and break the leg off of it," something of that sort. But no, we are always forced to repent. I know sometime in court, sometime in court, they be saying, "You put your hand on it, raise your hand, raise your right hand, put your hand on the Bible. I swear to tell the truth, nothing but truth. So help me God." And then they start interrogating you about a particular situation, and you sitting up there, you just lying. Next thing you know, Perry Mason come in there, and he start talking to you. Next thing you know, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to somebody." See, you should have already let that come out of yourself. Don't let nobody make you have to repent, because it's best if you repent. If you repent on your own with your husband, with your wife, or whatever situation, so that you can move on. Don't keep glazing over this thing that we call repentance. Father, we thank thee for this day, and we know that we have not been able to respond to the Savior's invitation for almost 2.5 years because we have not been in an assembly. Most of us have not been in an assembly or church or thing of that sort. And it was not provided for us through Zoom and through streaming and all of that kind of care. So let us on our own this very day of February the 1st repent. Let's ask you for prayer. Ask you to forgive us of this day. Forgive us for the sins that we've committed through however that sin came about. Help us to go for that today. Father, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Jesus loves you, and he's coming back again and trying to have a super duper